The topic in this session today is process mapping for AI automation. Now, these are interchangeable terms, so we're going to start with the concept of process mapping and how that will feed into the prospect and the opportunity for automating through AI. But we're also going to look at how AI itself can help with process mapping. So these are two kind of concepts that are working now in a kind of, I guess you could call it a symbiotic relationship. So they're really feeding each other. And the whole idea here is to benefit marketers and communicators with a whole host of things like efficiency savings, content creation, etc., etc., etc. So there's many, many different applications here. And we're going to explore some of these and some of the tools that you can begin to use to both process map, but also increase the opportunities within the AI automation by using AI within process mapping. So I'll kind of explain as we go through how that will all play out. But it is quite a technical, it is quite a complex area. So it is something that is evolving. So I'm going to be playing here a little bit with the strategy and the theory behind this stuff, as much as I will share with you some of the early tools that are emerging as kind of best in class, I guess, for various different applications that you might want to put this stuff into. So let's begin at the beginning. I mean, this is not a new thing. Well, it's relatively new in the whole scheme of marketing and increasing automation that we've seen over recent decades, but it is not completely and utterly new. Salesforce did a big research study back a few years ago and said that AI is being rapidly adopted in marketing, with 84% of marketers using AI in some shape or form in 2020, which was up 29%, or from 29% in 2018. So within 2 years, we've seen a huge resurgence, if you like, in the whole idea of automation and efficiency and getting commercial gains really from becoming just more sharp and just slicker at what we're doing. Stephen Hawking was very sort of well known to be quoting AI and saying that AI is the future, not just of technology, but of humanity. So for lots of us, it kind of is probably an absolute no-brainer that this thing is actually really taking shape. And in more recent years, well, in the last 12 months, we've seen a real massive growth. I mean, this is a revolution, not an evolution, of the attention, if you like, that has gone into AI more generally, but particularly in the field of automation. And so what I want to do is kind of explore one area of this with you as we go through this session, because AI automation and AI automation within marketing is really taking a traditional understanding of actually what we do in marketing to the next level. So AI takes traditional process mapping. So that is an understanding of the step by step by step practice that we have of delivering campaigns, producing websites, interacting with our customers, facilitating immersive journeys for our stakeholders. All of those things that we do as part of the marketing function and the marketing discipline have been turned on their head, if you like, by the introduction of more effective and useful process mapping. This will enable us to uncover and really discover inefficiencies in those processes. So it will allow us to become ever sharper, if you like, in the activities that we do. It will enable us in time to monitor in real time the improvements and the efficiencies that we're making. It will enable us to generate really actionable process improvements through using big data in a really proactive way in real time. And this, of course, by using AI, as now most of us have discovered, is that this will all be at a speed and scale that is not possible using manual or more traditional methods alone. So what might have taken you many, many hours or even days to create a process map using sticky notes and flip charts and chalkboards and whiteboards and kind of plotting things out can now be done in a matter of seconds. So this is going to empower us, you know, at a level that we've never really understood before. And it will empower businesses more generally to streamline processes that will enable us to reduce costs and overall boost operational efficiency. And from a marketing perspective, when we think about the return on investment of committing our resources to marketing, this will be ROI in marketing, the like of which, if we can get this right, we have never seen before. So there's some really exciting opportunities here. Now, for some, this is quite technical stuff. For some, it is possibly a bit of a stretch right now to enable this within our organizations and our businesses. But if you're of a like-minded position to me, it is just too good to ignore right now. The opportunities here competitively, but also strategically for the longer term, are really starting to shout at us. And I think if we can embrace at least making a start, and that's really what I'm here to encourage you to do today, is to make a start in this area, start to get a bit of an understanding of the processes that you have within what you do within your business, and start to plot those things out. That is step one. Step two then is to start to enable, through using AI, some improvements to some of those things. And step three is to then scale that out. And that's where obviously the big dollars and the big efficiencies are going to happen. But let's start kind of at the beginning. Now, it's really interesting here, because if you look at some of the very latest research, it leads us to know that high performing marketers have a fully defined AI strategy already in place. I Mean Marketing said that 70% of high performing marketers are already doing this stuff. They've already built a strategy around this. So it is too late to say, oh, well, I might just leave it to next year, or nah, we're quite busy this year, so we've already got our plans in place. We'll see what happens. This is not the time to be having that mindset. It is now the time to embrace it. So what can we do? What are those first kind of essential first steps that you need to know to be able to begin this journey of process mapping for AI automation? First thing is to define process mapping. What do we actually mean? Well, process maps are visual representations, so pictures, images, flow charts, if you like, of the steps involved in completing a task or project within your marketing activities. So a visual representation of the steps involved in completing a task or project. So it's not complicated. In fact, at the very simplest level, it is probably the simplest thing you could possibly do. I do this particular action, and then the next thing I do is this. And as a consequence of doing this, I then have choices. I could do that, or I could do that. And then you're building up this process map of all of the various steps and choices. And then as a result of those choices, the following and subsequent steps. Now, the key benefit of this, of course, is that it gives you a real clarity over what you're doing, because even going through that process, you can maybe look at it and think, hold on a minute, there's a step there. Why do we do that? Why do we need to do that? We don't. We could just jump from that point there to that point there. There's a step or two in there that we don't actually need to do, but we've been continually doing it because it's a habit within our process. So the very, very simplest sort of level, that can actually identify opportunities for improving the efficiency, taking some steps that are either obsolete or they meant something at one point, but they don't actually mean anything now, taking those out of the process. But it can also begin to identify opportunities for automating some of the areas and some of the things that you do that actually you're probably not adding too much value in. So these are things that a machine could do because they don't require the nuances, if you like, or the subtleties or the intuition of an emotional human interaction. So they could be things that can be automated, but we've just continually done them because we don't know the right tools to use, or maybe just, oh, it's just easier if I just get on and do it. And of course, remember, there's that word just appearing there. That is not the correct answer. So we'll explore that and we'll find out how we can sort of get over those things in just a moment. So there are some critical components in here, and we need to identify what those things are. So when I say steps involved in completing a task or project, what I mean are there's some inputs. There's some actions, there's some outputs, and there are probably some decision points within those inputs, actions, and outputs. So there's stuff going on. There's a flow of energy. There's a flow of interactivity between the steps in the processes of what we do for a campaign, a new product development, an interaction, a project, or even marketing planning itself, you know, can obviously be defined in a process map. And there will be some tools and resources. So what we're going to do is we'll do a little overview a little bit later on some of the software methodologies for effective process mapping. At the very simplest level, the traditional way is to get some big fat pens, get some sticky notes, start to use those big fat pens on those sticky notes so you can only capture a few points. So you're not writing an essay on each sticky note, you're only sort of having the highlights, or maybe just a very brief description of each step, and you're laying those out onto a flip chart in front of you, maybe doing it collaboratively as a team. That is the starting point of this. And I would always advocate and always recommend keeping it simple to begin with. You can add in the softwares later. You can start to do much more complex things later. Keeping it simple to start with is absolutely key. So the first steps really are to begin the journey with thinking about some of the processes that you know you do. So those step-by-step activities through any of the things that I've just described, where you can identify processes that might be ripe for automation. And the automation comes, remember, when you don't necessarily need the value of the human interaction in those steps. So it could be that this action or this click needs to go from here to here, and we don't need to be involved. There is an opportunity there to automate that. Okay, so it's almost like removing you and your colleagues from the equation. So if you can identify maybe with a different colored post-it note or sticky note, or maybe with just a little asterisk or whatever it is you choose, maybe you can identify some of those areas where human intervention is not necessary or not essential. You might like to do it, you might enjoy doing it, but even things like image creation now, you know, we can use AI for image creation. We don't need to go out with a camera or, you know, go to a sort of a distant location to take an image, take a photograph. We can actually use AI to create it. So some of those things might be a little bit of a challenge, and they might be something that you've actually enjoyed doing. But here what we're doing is we're looking for opportunities for automation. We're looking for opportunities where AI can step in and do something that we don't have to be doing. We might want to do it, but we need to just recognize we don't have to be doing it. And then we've got choices. So we might also then want to set some goals. So we might want to define what success could look like if we were to integrate AI or some kind of efficiency into our marketing strategies or plans or campaigns. What would success look like? And we will all have different definitions of that. You know, for some of us, it is, oh my goodness, so I hardly have to do anything and I can just sit here and choreograph all of these AIs and all of these AI agents to do things around me. So I've got a team around me. So I can just plan and think and innovate. I don't actually have to do anything. So for some of us, that is a good reaction. That is what success looks like. For others of us, because we enjoy doing some of these processes and some of these steps, success might look like, well, it's just taking away the things that I find a bit mundane, or it's just taking away the things that take me too long because I'm human. That could be what success looks like. But it's really important to identify that early on, because that becomes then a filter for the choices that you'll make later. Then, and we'll go into this in a bit more detail later, you can then set some criteria based on those decisions for choosing the right AI technologies to support these processes and those little process points that you feel are ripe for automation. And it's also important as well to remember the human in the process mapping. And so building and preparing your team with the right skills, with the right mindset, with the right, I guess you could call it risk kind of profiling here, and the right expectation of what this could do, because I think there is still quite a bit of fear that, well, if we start to implement in our processes a bit too much AI, you're not going to need me. So now I'm feeling fearful. So I'm going to resist that we even do this activity. that is obviously a mindset you don't want to be enhancing. So it is all about kind of just really sensing how people in your organization, based on the culture, the roles that they have, the kind of strategy that you're looking to implement, how this might play out, and talk to people, get a sense from people of where there are skill gaps. A lack of understanding often leads to fear, and that is the fear of the unknown. It isn't necessarily a fear of the AI itself. It's just a fear that, well, I don't know how it's going to impact on me, so therefore I'm fearful. So we want to get over that. So there could be areas where you'll need to enhance your team's capability to understand this stuff, and then to be able to manage these AI-driven processes at the next step. But just getting all the cards onto the table, making a note of stuff, having those slightly sensitive, potentially, conversations is also really, really important at this early stage. Remember, these are the first stages into looking at this. So we're starting to begin to profile what we might be looking at here. Now, the key to artificial intelligence has always been the representation. In other words, how the artificial intelligence is going to be representing itself or be representative of certain parts of the process. So in other words, we're going to give it its rightful position in the hierarchy of the things that we do. So in very simple terms, we're going to give it a job description. And each AI that we bring into the process, or each AI agent, as we might call them, those, because they're agents for change, so they'll have a very specific role at very specific points in our process here. So each one of those specific roles in that process needs to have what you might term a job description. So, of course, if you were bringing a human in to do that particular function, you'd give them a job description, you'd brief them, you'd tell them what to do. The AI is no different. Okay, so hopefully what I'm doing here is making this feel a little bit more human-like, but also feel a little bit more simple, because we can very quickly complicate the concept of AI by literally alienating it, making it feel alien and robotic, whereas actually it is just a function. And we as humans do functions and AIs do functions. So really seeing how it's going to represent itself and where it can potentially fit and where each of these job descriptions will play out as particularly defined steps in the process is really important. So you need to get down to that level of detail pretty quickly to understand where the value is going to come from. So here are some examples of where we might start to think about marketing process for automation. So customer segmentation and personalization. So this is something that all of us are trying as marketers now to do. Segment our audiences, personalize the communications that we have. So you could imagine AI with its deep, deep learning and its deep knowledge base being able to very, very quickly tailor marketing messages and offers based on big data for specific customer personas. And it'll be able to do it at a scale that you and I could just, well, never even dream of. And at a speed that will be breathtaking. So that could be something. It doesn't mean you're out of a job. It just means we're going to be doing it differently. And we'll talk about prompt engineering and how you kind of make that thing happen in another webinar. Content optimization and delivery. Again, this is really, really interesting use of what we might term big data again. So ensuring that relevant content reaches the right audience at the right time. You know, you and I would take a long time looking at the insights, looking at the analytics to figure out when is actually the optimal time, not taking some just generic industry report that says, oh, it's Tuesday on a Tuesday, on a rainy day at 2 p.m. That's the time you need to post. But they have no idea what your data is actually sort of saying, and the level of detail and the nuances behind the data you've got. So ignore those industry reports. They're an absolute waste of time. And it's actually about not just looking as a human at this. You can use the AIs for automating that understanding of when is the best time, how is the best medium, what is the best kind of content style to go out to that right audience at the right time. Again, at scale, at a totally efficient way of doing it. Lead generation and nurturing, another really interesting one to explore here in terms of automation. You know, you can streamline the process here from initial contact all the way through to qualified lead. There can be certain checkpoints Excuse me, there can be certain checkpoints that you will put into the mix here that will allow the AI to kind of, you know, make those decisions, make those judgments, and actually then send certain things at certain points in the journey based on the steps that you've plotted out and the choices that potentially a lead or a prospect makes in their journey with your brand or your product, your service or your website. So as they click through, the things that they do then can trigger the AI to send them certain things. Again, you don't have to be sat there. You don't have to be waiting for this stuff to happen 24/7. The AI can be programmed, given the job description, and literally nurtured in its own right to be doing this for you. And of course, then at the end of this journey, at the end of all these interactions, the AI can look after your analytics and reporting. Hey, wouldn't it be great to every time you're interested in looking to see how things are going, you have an up to the minute, up to the second, real time even, version of the evaluation. So not just the insights, the data, the tables, the metrics, the analytics, but an actual interpretation where the AI comes back to you and says, as a result of what I've seen over the last hour, I recommend that this afternoon, what you do is X, Y, and Z. Wouldn't that be interesting? So automating the collection and analysis of marketing data, and then potentially the reporting and the evaluation and the recommendations, so that you can continuously improve everything that you do. And again, at scale, in real time. So what we're looking for here are little moments, and you're going to need to prioritize this stuff, because if you try and do all of these things all at once, as you probably already gathered, that's probably going to be a little bit too heavy. Until we've got an AI that can do that all at once for us, we're going to need to be quite human about this and start to plot out, start to understand the processes where we feel we might be able to see the best change or the best improvement or the best, maybe fastest, maybe most efficient, maybe most profitable gains. So prioritization is going to be key as we do this. And so there's a lot of reasons here to be interested. Once we start the journey of mapping our marketing, let's call it a marketing ecosystem. So all of the processes that we have, we're going to see a lot of reasons to get everybody interested in this. You know, you need to start this probably personally yourself, just to begin to understand this yourself. But then you will see that everybody who's involved, your line manager, business owner, agencies, consultants, whoever you've got around you, your team, your colleagues, they will start to realize that actually, because they interact with you and your processes, probably their processes and what they do may also benefit from this deep dive approach. So they will then find reasons to be interested as you start to share the progress that you're making. So you'll see visibility of end-to-end processes. It'll give you and everybody around you clear visual representation of where your work fits with their work, fits with the overall process flow across all the different departments and functions within your organizations. So basically, as you look into this, you will start just by having these conversations to break down silos and to show how each step impacts the final output or the customer experience or the sales that you generate or the post customer support. And so, of course, with all these interactions with these other teams, these other disciplines, you can have those more detailed, more evidence-based conversations. So your role becomes more strategic. Your role becomes more thoughtful, more mindful, more valuable to others in the business. We've always struggled as marketers to talk the language of the rest of the business. People often don't understand marketing jargon and marketing speak. But as soon as you start to map your processes, as soon as you start to talk those very simple step-by-step journeys of those individual steps, you start to talk a language that everybody can understand because we're keeping it simple. It also allows you to then document your business processes. You know, the process maps capture the current state, the as is, of how work gets done in a very easy to understand format. So you can, as much as everybody else, identify where the gaps might be where you are falling short versus the competition, where there's just something that isn't quite working and you're not quite sure why. And of course, it can also then identify gaps where things become such a frustration that people leave, or that, you know, you're losing customers because of it. So there's a lot of really great reasons there in itself that by just knowing your processes, that allows you then to build on those processes and to support process improvement. Because with processes mapped out visually, it is much easier to identify inefficiencies, the redundancies, and opportunities for optimization. So continuous improvement becomes something that just becomes part of how you discuss what it is you do. And this is why I would always recommend, and I've said it a couple of times, I'll say it again now, always keep it really local, keep it really personal to you to start with. Because when you've got some great little examples and little case studies that you can show and share with others, they will get it instantly. So when they can see, look, here's five or six steps, there's one, there's another, there's another, there's another, and they can just see how you work and what you do, and they'll probably look at it and think, oh, I didn't realize that's actually how you build a campaign. So when I say to you, can you promote this out to this customer group? Oh, right, so there's actually a little bit of science behind this. Your credibility, the understanding of what you do, will go through the roof. It is just how we're seeing this play out. And of course, it allows you to and enables you to transfer knowledge across the organization within your team. And you'll learn quickly and be able to share quickly best practice. And of course, if you're onboarding somebody new, somebody comes into the organization and they need to really understand how you do stuff, having a strong process map enables you both to automate stuff, to strip out the stuff where you don't need the human interaction, but also where you do need the human as part of it. It allows you and enables you to share that information. So you'll be bringing people more efficiently and effectively on stream and up to speed at a pace that without the process mapping, you probably would only have dreamed of. So there's another set of reasons to be interested. Now, they do also enable you to show compliance. So you can demonstrate adherence to regulatory standards, things like ISO. So if you're in an organization that has ISO standards and you've got certification or you've got a regulator who requires you to process map, this is really tangible, really strong, reliable evidence for any audits that you might face. And also, really importantly, a history of process changes over time. If you are a studying marketer, any of those changes are great evidence for your portfolio. And of course, we all need to have a strong portfolio of where we're adding value. So that can really score well. But from the business perspective, a history of process changes over time is like gold dust. It is so, so important to be able to say, well, for the last 4 months and 3 days, this is actually what we've done as a new process. And here was our previous process, but here's our version 17 or whatever. To be able to document that. So if ever challenged, or if you ever need to revert back to a previous state because the new state actually isn't working, you've always got that previous process. So it sounds really super powerful, but also super planful, and it is. And what it will do is it'll identify risks and controls. Risks and associated controls within processes will be highlighted because it's more visual and it is a much, much more clear way of then mitigation planning, which enables you then to minimize those risks. Because you can say that, look, if we make this little change to this process that we've plotted out, so we've already got version A there, well, we'll archive that. But now in our version B, if version B doesn't play out the way that we want it to play out, then let's just plan a version C so that we're ready, so we could switch that on. And we often see this playing out really well in marketing communications and things like PR, where risk management and reducing risk is absolutely key in all the communication kind of style and messages that we have to put out. So we'll see this one play out in many, many ways. And so really what we're saying here, and this is, again, another reason to be interested in this stuff, is that it supports what we might call operational excellence. Because Everybody in the team can access process maps as a reference for how to perform their tasks correctly, how to link to procedures or guidelines. There will be potentially forms and videos, etc., that you can provide. You can provide best practice guides, again, both for onboarding, but also for refreshers. So if you have a training group or if you have a people development team, get them involved as well, because this stuff plays out in terms of the level of confidence, but also the technical understanding of everybody you have in your organization. And importantly, it drives this word standardization, so that you can have real confidence that when you give somebody or one of your AIs something to do, you can be confident that it's going to be carried out in a correct and or a predictable and or the best possible way. And that's important, because what we're doing here is we're reducing the little kind of sort of ways that things slip, and they often slip in a way that, you know, is almost because you're looking at this day to day, and because they're a process that happens a lot, they slip in such tiny little incremental moments that you almost don't notice that it slipped. But standardization by doing process mapping almost precludes that. It means that you can't slip because people are following a step-by-step process. And it will, of course, then align cross-functional handoffs beautifully, because process maps clarify those handoff points between different roles and departments and will improve coordination. I mean, a great example here in marketing is where you hand off a lead that you've generated in your marketing to sales to follow up, for example. Then often marketing kind of backs off and goes back to then lead generation. Sales takes it on. And if that process is not absolutely seamless, the customer experiences delays. They might experience a different style, a different tone of voice. There is just opportunity to lose that customer in that handoff. So to me, that's always a critical moment in our process mapping, and a lovely example of where we can get it really wrong. And there's a real commercial reason for wanting to get it right. So that would be a key one, I would think, if you are in a commercial organization that has both sales and marketing. Maybe just have a little look at your process map in that handoff, because that can be a very enlightening moment. And I would probably predict pretty confidently there will be opportunities there to improve that one. There's often, you know, there's sort of some real sort of golden moments that you can do there. And of course, what that requires is that you need to enable some kind of process ownership. So certain maps will be owned by certain process owners, and they will have particular roles. So having clear responsibility for certain parts of the process gives them clear accountability. So if in that example of the marketing sales handoff, you have a clear cutoff point where that customer is now accountable to the sales team, or accountable for the conversations, accountable for the communications that happen, those follow-ups, and at that sweet spot in that step of that process, that is the accountability change from the marketer to the salesperson, then it's very clear for everybody to understand. So if anything needs improving or falls short of the standards that you expect at that point, or at one side of that critical cutoff, then you know who needs to take control and needs to own it. So rather than this just thing, marketing blames sales, sales blames marketing, that goes away, because this customer is either on one step or they're on the other step. There is no in between. They've been handed over, or they haven't yet been handed over. So it's just super clarity. So if that's what you're missing, you can, of course, play that out in other types of relationships that you have within your organization, between marketing and sales, marketing and finance, marketing and customer service, whoever it happens to be. And it might be then that they also follow suit. And if this is not a typical process mapping experience that your organization has, maybe you're then educating the value of doing this for other teams to look at their interactions where it actually doesn't involve you at all. Wouldn't that be great if this thing rolls out so you have a whole organization-wide series of process maps so that everybody can see what everybody's doing? You know, that wouldn't that be great for a whole business-wide wave event or conference? That would be very interesting, because, of course, continuous improvement equals return on investment, equals a more profitable, successful, and happier organization overall. Now, there will be obviously some limitations of this kind of stuff. There will be some stuff and things to consider. I'm going to focus really on the positives of just getting this thing started in this talk. But you do just have to be a little bit mindful that there are some things that, you know, AI can obviously help you with as you go through this. I mean, it definitely excels at data analysis, predictive modeling, personalization, task automation, but it will have, if you want the AI to help you do this stuff, it will have limitations in understanding the context or maybe the kind of little nuances of the background. It's maybe some of the creativity and definitely at the moment, the emotional intelligence. So understanding what feels right, it won't be able to necessarily help you with that. So there is still a role for you to play in this process mapping. So the strengths are in those things, but it will be less, effective where it isn't so strong. So balancing and striking the right balancing between human intuition with AI's computational power, that is what we need to do here. So as we start to bring in, when we're looking at some of these improvements, we start to bring in the use of AI to scale things up, to make things a bit faster, to just speed up the process of what we're doing, then you need to kind of be there holding the reins. That's really, really important. So is this just Neil saying, wouldn't this be a lovely thing to do? Or are there real organizations who have been doing this and doing this for some time? Zoom is a really great real world example. We all have heard of Zoom, the video comms company. And of course, we know how much growth they experienced during the pandemic. But to support this growth, they were doing this back then. They use Nintex ProMap to map and manage their channel order processes. They were being swamped with inquiries and new business. But by mapping out the processes, they were all able to automate workflows for deal registration with other businesses and order processing with consumers and smaller organizations. The results, onboarding time for new channel partners reduced by a half. 90% faster deal registration process, 75% reduction in time spent on channel orders, and they scaled to handle 10 times the increase in channel business. And here's the key, without adding any staff. So process mapping and automation allowed them to efficiently handle that massive boom in channel sales at the same time as delivering faster partner experiences. So there is no excuse. You know, these guys were, you know, facing, you know, a seismic change in the scale of their business, but they were able to actually add value and speed at that same time as growing. So how exciting could that be if we do it in our little humble sort of organizations at a much lower pace? Mercy Health may or may not have heard of them, but they're a large US healthcare system, and they faced challenges recently with managing some very time consuming and repetitive tasks as they grew, like entering patient data into electronic health records, for example. So what did they do? Well, they used health sort of process mapping software to identify high volume rules based processes that they could then use robotic process automation, RPA, may well have come across that term, to automate things like new patient onboarding, patient data entry, and claims processing. So a lot of what you might term back office stuff, but the only way they could do that was to do process mapping, the likes of which we're talking here. They have seen a 6.7x return on investment within the first year of doing this. They saved at the same time as that. They've created $3 million in savings from these specific processes. They've increased efficiency and accuracy and at the same time improved patient experience with faster processing times. So again, automation delivering significant cost savings at the same time as ROI, at the same time, and this for me was the key thing, improving the customer experience. So there is almost like no compromise. This is why it's different to many of the things that we've had before. We've moved on now from it being, okay, well, we need a trade-off here, Neil, because, you know, okay, we can go and do this, but this is our trade-off. So we're gonna get some gains there, but we're going to lose out here. With AI automation and process mapping, we're able to get a win-win-win-win-win. This is the beauty of this stuff. It is different to everything we've had before. This is where we're going to really be able to optimize almost everything, if you like. This is what we're after here. It's very, very interesting when you look at the research. I mean, IBM are doing a lot, as you would imagine, a lot of kind of behind the scenes reporting and white papers and research here. And they are saying recently that 54% of businesses report cost savings and efficiency as a top benefit of using AI. So AI within process integration is a key thing now. And we're seeing that, you know, more than half of businesses doing this stuff are already seeing cost savings and efficiency. And of course, then if we do this in marketing, our ROI of marketing is going to increase. And of course, as we've said already, it's simplification and standardization. That's what we're after here. It's data quality and accessibility. It's continuous monitoring and adjustment. And at the same time, improving our stakeholder engagement, keeping all parts of our business informed and on board with the changes. So as we start to do this process mapping, as we start to identify those little light bulb moments where it's like, oh, wow, look, we could do it then. Oh, look, there's a piece of software that could help us do that. And we get those little kind of exciting bursts of energy. We need to be reporting it and sharing it, because this will become almost a sort of a viral thing within the organization itself. And this is what I'm particularly excited by, is the way that this is going to become very scalable very quickly. But we just have to make a start. So we need to set some clear objectives. We need to develop a roadmap. We need to outline the steps to integrate AI into our processes. We need to identify those risks that I talked about before. And we need to really kind of, as we get people engaged in these conversations, start to, wherever we can, build a culture of innovation. This is opening up the what if question. You know, the what if we actually were able to do that? What if we changed that? What if we did? And not be always reactive, not always be pessimistic of what the outcome might be, but just really excited by the opportunity. This is so different to the way that we've had it before. And we're going to see this play out, in my prediction, in enhanced customer experiences, probably before anything else. I think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see personalized customer journeys. Brands and businesses in your sector, if it isn't you, are going to be using AI to customize the marketing funnel for each customer. So if you've plotted out your customer journey, AI is now going to start to be able to infill those little gaps or those little bottlenecks or those little points in that customer journey where, yeah, well, if we had the time and the resource, we could do that, but we never really make the time. AI is going to enable you to be able to do that, fill those gaps and really plow people through your customer journey really, really effectively. We're going to be able to predict more customer service needs before they arrive and arise. And we're probably going to anticipate these needs and solve these problems way, way further upstream than we could ever do, because the AI is going to enable us to see these things. We're going to engage through chatbots and AI assistants. And if you don't believe me, just keep a watch on the high street, because it's here. It really is here now. You know, how many websites do you buy from now that have real-time 24/7 customer support through chatbots on the homepage or through the e-commerce shopping site that you're buying from? They are all there in 24/7 now. You don't need people sat there on expensive call centers. This is all AI automation. So the question is, are you ready for that? Are you ready to plot out how you might do it? Not necessarily buy into a big expensive system yet, but just plot out the process by which you currently do it, the as is that we talked about before. And then we're going to see very, very soon augmented and what I'm calling new reality, not virtual reality. It's not virtual, it's new, it's here, it's right here, right now. Experiences that will create immersive brand interactions. And we're going to get those when we understand where using AR and VR, and we might call it new reality, NR, made that up, by the way, but where we can actually use that in certain points in our process maps that we're doing. It's going to be available to us. And by doing this, we're going to be able to set some really interesting KPIs, key performance indicators. We're going to be looking for automation efficiencies. So our KPIs are going to include reducing time and resources for our tasks. We're going to get stronger, harder hitting customer engagement metrics. We're going to be looking at increases in conversion rates, customer satisfaction scores, retention rates. That term vanity metrics is going to be a thing of the past. We're not going to need to worry about, oh, how many likes have you got? Oh, how many followers? Who cares? What we're looking at now is this new AI enhanced marketing process of engagement metrics, where actually we're looking at the right kind of data, and the accuracy and the insights from that data will enable us to make improvements that we've never known before. So the innovation, the rate of learning, the rate of new opportunities that we identify is going to go through the roof. We just have to start mapping our processes. It really is that simple. And by doing this, what we're doing is we're future-proofing our marketing operations. We really are. I mean, with or without AI. So you could just be sticky note stage, but you could also be now thinking, okay, done sticky notes. Now I want to get into the AIs. What actually do we need to do? What's the software? How can we use it? I'll come on to that in just a second. But artificial intelligence would be the ultimate version of Google, said Larry Page, the ultimate search engine that would understand everything on the web. AI is going to do the same for our marketing operations. It's going to adapt to evolve. The technologies are going to stay informed about new AI developments. We need to do that too. We're going to need to be mindful, obviously, of ethical AI use. We're going to make sure that we're still using it responsibly within our marketing processes. But everything that we do today to be authentic and true and honest and abide by all the regulations and the legislation, it's no different. As soon as we plug in an AI to do a particular job description, we just add the same criteria of you need to do this within our brand guidelines. You need to do this within the kind of terms of reference and the style that we would normally do it if that was a human. So AI, please behave as one of our humans would. And the AI will follow suit. The AI, as programmed, as defined, as described, will do exactly the same. So ethics and AI isn't something to be feared. If we treat the AIs as a human, give them a job description, give them a function, give them a process to do, and we do it in the same way that a human would do it within our organization, we're ticking all the boxes. It is no different, but it's different, if you see what I mean. So how can we begin? Okay, so you can use the very simple post-it, sticky notes. I shouldn't say post-it, should I? Because that's advocating 3M, but oh, you know what I mean. Sticky notes. Sticky notes, big pen and flip chart. So you can map it out that way. That is the simplest starting point. But you can also then start to use what we might describe as some slightly more sophisticated techniques. And I would recommend that you go away and have a little look at these. Do a little bit of a search to find out more detail. But we've got a number of techniques here. I've got six of them to share with you. One is value stream mapping. I'm not going to go through each of these now because this would take half a day to go through all of these, but you can go away and research these. We've got value stream mapping. We have swim lane diagrams, as the name implies, a very visual step-by-step swim lane style cross-functional mapping that details processes and responsibilities. We've got state diagrams showing different conditions or states that a component or a system or a product or a person can transition through. Often those involve the choices of if I go yes or if I go no, I end up in a different part of the flow or in a different part of the process. So maybe state diagrams could be something that could be interesting to use. We've got data flow diagrams, which are similar to these kinds of flow charts, but they're very visual and they're focused on the inputs, the actions, and the outputs. So data flow diagrams is another interesting one. We've got business process hierarchy models. That one can break down the processes into a hierarchy of system processes. So in other words, not everything and not every step is of the same level of value within the business. Some of them are very simple little kind of activities or tasks, whereas some of them are major processes that are quite strategic and maybe very, very formal. And then you can also go for time-driven activity-based costing. That's another one which gets a little bit more detailed in terms of not just each process step, but actually looking at the time required and the resources utilized within those steps. So these models allow you to go a little bit deeper. I said to start with the sticky notes, post-its at the beginning, just to kind of get into the flow, literally. But then these kinds of models going down this list of six get more and more technical, more and more detailed. But if you want to go there, or if you've got colleagues who enjoy this kind of thing, or if you find you enjoy this thing, then go deeper, because some of those models can be really useful for you. And then once you start to kind of get a sense of where these opportunities are going to lie, you will probably then want to explore some of the AI tools that you can use within process mapping to be part of the process, but to also help you with the process. So this is where I said right at the outset of this conversation, the whole point is here, AI comes into play in both sides. So it comes into play to help you do the process mapping, but it is also the recipient of the output. So it can also then be used as part of the solution. So you've got things like Wondershare's eDraw Max. You've got Solonis is another one, which is object-centric process mining, where a real object like a shipping order moves through a business process, and the AI can continuously update things like expected delivery times, for example. So if you're into e-commerce, that could also be very useful. SAP has got Signavio. There's an interesting one there, which uses large language models to train what it calls large process models. And this can give you a lot of process analytics, but can also be used for content creation and the like. You've got Abby as well, which is an optical character recognition software, which explores ways AIs can extract data and even more data than you probably can right now from customer processes to improve process outcomes. Again, all of these are worth kind of having a look at. Flowster. It uses machine learning algorithms and data analysis to map out and automate processes. So this is where you're starting to look at data collection, analysis and mapping, and then real-time monitoring of the flow of objects and content and processes. That can be good. And one that I particularly like, because it's using something that's very familiar to me, is the varieties of ChatGPT, is Whimsical. Have a little look at Whimsical, which is an online AI powered flowchart maker. It's got a drag and drop interface, and you can do some real-time collaboration with other people across your team or other departments. And that can be a very nice one to kind of, because it's integrated with ChatGPT, it can also be a content producer. So if you're using content production as part of the flow of your process maps, that can also be a really good one. So I've gone very quickly through those, but of course, it requires you to go away and figure out which ones at which points in time are going to be useful to you. So we've got those process mapping models and styles, and then we've got those process mapping and integrated AI tools to help you both with doing the process, but also then with the outputs that can come from those processes. So have a little play with those and explore, and hopefully they will all become very clear to you as to which one is going to suit you best. But remember, the first starting point is those little sticky notes and those flip charts. So what would you do next? I mean, if you've come to the point where you've kind of used the software, you've got your process maps, what is the next kind of step for continuing the journey? Well, I would always say start small and focus on high value processes. You know, when implementing your process mapping with AI, it's important to start with a small pilot project and focus on processes that can deliver the most value. Because by starting small, you can obviously test and refine your approach before you begin to scale up. You know, I'm a big advocate of, you know, prioritizing processes that are repetitive, time-consuming, or prone to errors, because those are going to be prime candidates for AI automation. So that can be a really good starting point. Continuing the journey, what I would suggest then is kind of involving all relevant stakeholders in the mapping project. I mean, I've talked here about how many times it's worth kind of having these conversations with sales and finance and customer support. Process mapping for AI should involve reps from all departments and teams that are part of or recipients of the end of your processes. So this is going to ensure that you're going to capture the full end-to-end workflow and get buy-in. That's really key here. So collaborate with subject matter experts to document each step, to clarify roles, identify both manual and system tasks. And of course, having diverse perspectives is going to result in more comprehensive and accurate process maps. You know a lot in marketing, but you don't know everything. You don't know those little nuances or those little moments of almost invisible or in the shadows activities that happen elsewhere. So get talking, get collaborating. That is really key. And alongside that, establish clear goals and metrics for success. Before embarking too deeply on the process mapping for AI, define your objectives. You're looking to increase efficiency, you're looking to improve customer experience or drive maybe innovation in product and service. Because setting specific measurable goals is going to guide your mapping efforts and help determine if AI automation is actually delivering value. My prediction is it will, but you need to be sure of it. So establishing KPIs like time saving, error reduction, or customer satisfaction scores to track progress and, of course, the subsequent return on investment, which is going to come. So start by starting focused. And stay focused for a while, involve the right people, set clear targets, and you can identify then and create effective process maps that are going to lay the foundation for successful AI automation in marketing and beyond. That's going to be key. And remember, process mapping is an iterative journey. What do I mean by that? Well, it means that it continually fuels itself. It continually improves. So regularly reviewing and optimizing both your automated processes, but also the engagement you have with others as you scale up your AI initiatives is going to be absolutely key for getting this right going forward. And how can you follow it up and how can we support you? Well, Cambridge Marketing College, as you're probably or possibly already aware, is running an AI and Metaverse Marketing Day course. We run this one every month. You can get the details of the next month's or the future month's upcoming days by going to marketingcollege.com/events. If you go there, what you will see are the days that you can book into. We go deeper into how you can use AI in all of the facets that we've been talking about. We go deeper into specifically the marketing tools that we're finding the most useful right now and some of these emerging technologies like, and I've just used them as a kind of a throwaway comment here, but these AI agents. So these little AI kind of bots, if you like, who can work alongside you as part of the delivery of your process mapping improvements. So we'll go there, we'll talk you through it, and it's very, very workshop style. So you'll be interacting and it's very immersive. We do it in the metaverse, so you're kind of live there with your avatar, learning about this stuff and experiencing it in real time. So I'd love to see you if that sounds like your kind of thing, you'd like to take this forward. Love to see you on that one of those days going forward. I co-host it with Mark Connolly at the college. So go to marketingcollege.com/events.